GTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, vice president for community and government relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Good morning. I'm Steve Brown, welcoming you into this edition of Education Matters here on WGTDHD Public Radio. We have two segments on today's program. In segment one, I'll be talking with Jason Tadlock, superintendent of schools for the Elkhorn Area School District. And in segment two, I'll be speaking with Kenosha County Deputy Sheriff Casey Rude about his role as deputy friendly. In this segment, I'm talking with Jason Tadlock. And Jason is the superintendent of schools in the Elkhorn Area School District. Jason, welcome.
Thank you, Steve, for having me.
One of the things I always like to start out with in interviews is if you could maybe tell our audience a bit about who you are, where you grew up, where you went to school, grade school, junior high, high school, or whatever you'd like to share with us at this starting point.
You know, looking back in my childhood, I'm the oldest of four children, and my dad was a teacher as well, originally started out in the Air Force, but then went back to school to be a teacher when his term was finished in the Air Force. And so I actually traveled quite a bit as he went through his early career and then going back to school. So kindergarten was in Logan, Utah, while my dad was finishing up his bachelor's degree. And then in my childhood, I grew up in the St. George, Utah area, down by Las Vegas, where my dad taught middle school during that time frame. Then we had a couple years in Ohio for sixth grade and seventh grade as my dad went back to school to get his doctorate degree. And then I moved back to St. George area for a couple of years while he taught and did his dissertation. And then where I kind of call home is St. George, Utah, but then also Platteville, Wisconsin, as my dad accepted a position at UW Platteville, heading up their middle level education center. And that's where I went to high school and had a wonderful experience, fell in love with Wisconsin and finished my high school education there in Platteville. Then upon graduation, I ended up going to school out west. I went to what's now BYU, Idaho, and then transferred to Utah State, where my dad had accepted a position at Utah State. And I went there for my education as a Spanish teacher. Took 2 years off from college to go and do a church mission in El Salvador. That's where, you know, I learned Spanish, became fluent in Spanish. When I came back, originally I was going to be a tech ed teacher, but the program had changed quite a bit, and I had become fluent in Spanish, so I switched over to a Spanish major and taught Spanish. But always wanted to return to the Midwest. When I graduated college, my wife was from the Twin Cities, and my parents had moved. My dad had taken a position at Bemidji State, so it was natural for us. We took a position in Webster, Wisconsin, all the way up by Superior, where I taught Spanish for a number of years, and then went into administration as a K-12 principal at Elko, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. a middle school, high school principal in New Glarus. And then 16 years ago, I took a K-8 superintendent position in Wheatland, K-8 school district, which is right next to Lake Geneva and in between Salem. And after being in Wheatland for 3 years, I accepted the superintendent's position in Elkhorn.
If you look back at your own education, Jason, what do you see as the focal point for you that got you interested in school administration?
That's a great question. And because as I started out my educational career, going into school administration, I don't recall that even being on my radar or even being a thought. I think teaching in Webster, Wisconsin, which was a small school district, I believe less than 1,000 students at the time, as a new Spanish teacher, they did a great job of getting me involved in a number of school projects, being on the tech integration team, and being the only Spanish teacher in the district. I had a lot of free rein to be really creative, innovative, and do, you know, bring that technology and those items into my classroom. And so I think the school leadership there, with some of the opportunities and experiences they gave and provided me with, kind of piqued my interest at that point and led to me looking at it. If I wanted to have a greater impact in education on students' lives, one way to do that would be to broaden beyond the regular classroom setting. And so I think that's what kind of originally piqued my interest. I think my first passion was really coaching sports and teaching, and shifting into an educational administration was kind of just pivoting that leadership or that coaching type approach and looking at it through a different lens. And so I think that's what really piqued my interest, was working with good educational leaders in Webster that kind of inspired me or showed what were some neat opportunities that could happen within the field of education.
Mm-hmm. In your role as superintendent of schools in Elkhorn, if you could describe in your own words, in terms of what the school district is like, how many schools there are, about how many students, and you've been there 12 years, so you've seen a lot of growth and changes, not just in numbers, but in educational offerings and school funding and everything.
Yeah, Elkhorn's a K-12 school district, and that's in within our conference. It's a little unique because there's a number of union high schools or union districts, which are 9-12 districts, and then K-8 school districts. But we are a comprehensive K-12 district. We have three traditional elementary schools, a brick and mortar traditional middle school, and then a traditionally structured high school. But then we have a charter school, Career and College Academy, which primarily covers grades 9 through 12. They do have a special program where there are some middle schoolers that participate in that. And then we have a virtual school, Options Virtual School, which is a 4K through 12th grade blended learning and online learning program. We have right around 3,500 students, of which just over 25% of those are school choiced into our school district. We take a lot of pride in developing career pathways and learning opportunities that create lots of different experiences and or opportunities for our students. And creating access and opportunity is really at the heart of what we focus on for our students, and following what we refer to as the redefining readiness indicators. I can speak a little bit more about that later, but really the offerings that we have, and probably a point of pride that we have within our district, is last year alone we had over 3,000 student seats in college level courses, with just over 1,000 high school students. That's an average of 3 college level courses per high school student, not just seniors. So it's really getting students within those pathways, their areas of interest, and meeting them at their achievement level. We saw years ago that roughly 45 to 50% of our incoming freshmen were already scoring at the college readiness level. And so one of the questions, you know, that we asked, well, how do we create greater access and opportunities to coursework and programs that are at their achievement level within our high school setting and that structure, as, you know, they're not ready to be sent off to college at that point? So we've really developed a lot of partnerships and pathways along those lines. And not just about college, but also about prepping for the workforce. Mm-hmm. Whether that's technical diplomas, certifications, credentials that we refer to as stackable credentials, takes a high priority for us. So we would like to see all of our students graduate either having completed a youth apprenticeship, a work study, and or some professional credential.
On your website, there's a discussion and reference to Redefining READY, which is actually a national initiative of the American Association of School Administrators, which is primarily of superintendents. If you could maybe talk a bit about what Defining READY is all about and how it really impacts your district and specifically, of course, the students.
Yeah, so Redefining READY, it recognizes that students are far much more than a test score. And there's college readiness, a life readiness, and a career readiness factor. And there's different metrics that are looked at to help make sure that our students are prepared in all of those aspects, such as attendance rates, participation in co-curricular programs, you know, the letter grades within math. So they've looked at a lot of what are research-based benchmarks that have demonstrated that if a student reaches that benchmark, then they're going to be successful in their post-secondary endeavors. And so that's really been the area of focus for us. I'll share, you know, I shared the level of rigor of our courses and getting students access to those high-level, college-level courses. But at the same time, it's also been an expansion within like our co-curriculars, or whether it's sports and or clubs. When I first came to Elkhorn and we started looking at this data, we were roughly about 45% of our students participate in a co-curricular program of some type. Now we're at a point where 80% of our high school students are in co-curriculars and over 90% of our middle school students. And why that's so critically important and why we've made the investment in those areas is kids who participate in co-curriculars average a full letter grade higher, their attendance rates are better, their graduation rates are better, and they develop life skills that translate over into the employment field. So that's just one example of when we're looking at those redefining ready metrics and we took actionable steps to improve in that area, that may not be a traditional data point area focus for schools, but for us, it's been a primary consideration. And how do we increase that involvement in those co-curriculars and have the benefited outcomes as a result?
A few weeks ago, Governor Evers and the Wisconsin Education Development Corporation announced, actually on May 1st, that Elkhorn Middle School is now the recipient of a $25,000 state grant for their Fab Lab. And when I read that, and just for purposes of transparency, Jason, you also serve on the Gateway Technical College Board. I believe you're the chairperson, correct?
Correct.
So, of course, there's a Fab Lab at Gateway, and they actually broadcast on WGTD the second Saturday of every month. But if you can maybe just talk briefly about how are those funds going to be spent and what exactly is a Fab Lab if someone has never heard of it or even been aware of it?
Yeah, so a Fab Lab is short for Fabrication Lab. And so it's an area in which students can go down and create items, whether it be 3D prints, vinyl, laser engraving, but it has a number of different machines that we use and or tools to help facilitate the creation of objects. And it can be used specifically in one fashion to teach the students how to use that type of equipment, but secondly, within their classroom so that they can produce prototypes or innovate and create prototypes. In our Project Lead the Way curriculum that we have that's integrated in grades kindergarten all the way up through high school, our units really focus on the students have to come up with solving a problem and creating a solution. And so they could potentially use those Fab Labs to help them produce those products or their prototypes. And so we have a Fab Lab at, or that type space at each of our libraries in our elementary schools, in our middle school, and then also over at the high school. And so we're very appreciative of the grant. It's going to help us, you know, refresh that Fab Lab that we do have and update it and bring in more 3D printers and desktop for tabletop meals and so forth.
Sure. Have any of the students at Elkhorn in the district gone over to the Fab Lab operation at Gateway?
Yes, we've had students who have done tours there, but we also have Gateway has what are called academy programs, where the students can take six credits. Typically, they're around 10 to 12 credits. They lead to a professional certification, and the students will go over to the Gateway campus, take those classes, and complete that academy and that program there. So I know my oldest son, he completed his CNC certification or his CNC academy.
And, okay.
When he was a senior and earned a couple certifications as a result, but spent time over in the lab and working on.
Speaking about funding, the referendum in April did not pass in your district. Of course, no one really knows what's going to happen nationwide with school funding, you know, either coming from Washington with the cutbacks and even at the state level with DPI? Kind of a broad stroke question first. With regards to overall funding, as you look at what's happening right now, and I'm not asking you or anyone to get political, although as they say, everything in life is political nowadays, regardless of where you are on the spectrum. But as far as funding goes, how often is that a topic that you, members of your district, your admin team, and of course the school board, actually discuss on an ongoing basis?
Oh, every meeting? I would say that, especially as of, you know, more recently, it's been very much at the forefront because we've hit a critical mass point, just like all the other districts in the state of Wisconsin, that, you know, we have not had funding in line with inflation since 2009. So because of that, on an annual basis, there's a shortfall from just your inflationary increases to your, whether it's utilities, your, you know, wages and salaries, your water bill, everything that still increases in line with inflation, but except for the revenues. So it is an ongoing conversation. How do we save and or generate revenue in other creative ways, which we've used open enrollment to help mitigate some of that financial liability. But it's a constant challenge and constantly at the forefront of everything that we do and think about. We try to do it in a way that it's not a stressor or negatively impacting the community and or the district overall, but it constantly has to be on our mind and at the forefront.
I mean, looking at, there was something on the website just prior to the referendum vote that took place April 1st, and the first line is, what will happen if this referendum fails? It did fail. As I read through it, you know, I'm not going to go through every single line item that's on here, but give us an overview from your perspective right now. Here we are, you know, a month and a half after the referendum failed. What do you see as the three biggest areas that the district and the community has to face now in the failing of that referendum on April 1st?
The three biggest areas is we're, first and foremost, we have to come up with how to mitigate that budget shortfall that we're projecting. And we've been very fiscally prudent over the years, and we're starting from a strong financial position where we don't have to reduce our budget by $4 million in 1 year. So we're taking it in chunks. I believe this first year, we've identified approximately $2.5 million in savings and or additional revenue generation. And then next year, we'll look at another $1.5 million. And cross our fingers that the state budget comes back somewhere between what it's at right now and what Governor Evers' proposal was. We're not anticipating that Governor Evers' line items will go through. But that would symbolize just over $3 million more dollars in revenue for us as a school district and take our shortfall from about $4.5 million down to $1.5 million. So that would have a significant impact for us. Not anticipating that, though. So we're taking it in chunks on the reductions. But really, any school district budget is made up of about 75% to 85% in staffing. And, you know, that's our budget is reflective of that. So when you're reducing your budget, it really comes down to staffing. So we're going to have larger class sizes. We'll have less admin support, less teacher, you know, support, staff support, and we'll have to reduce our transportation as well. So there may be slightly longer bus rides or definitely longer walks to the bus stops, as we won't be able to accommodate, you know, as closely spaced bus stops. We'll have to get more efficient in those areas in those ways. And we're still navigating through what does it look like from, are there going to be increased fees? Are there going to be, you know, what are the structures of the schools? The district did, at least for now, make the decision to stay with the neighborhood school model, and that we feel we can get enough savings from just a reduction in staffing positions to avoid having to leave what are called the neighborhood schools, where you're grouped by, you know, you attend school with the people in your area, rather than what are called center schools, where everybody like in first, second grade goes to the same school
mm-hmm.
in the district. Like a traditional middle school and high school would be a center school model.
Okay.
So for now, it looks like we're going to be able to keep the neighborhood schools, and if we can generate enough savings, and but it's still very disruptive. Class sizes will be larger. People will be stretched on their bandwidth, but we'll still do our best to provide the high quality education, as much great service as possible.
Okay. And my last question, Jason, if someone's listening right now, and they're listening either live or they're listening to the archive, and they're interested in moving to the southeastern Wisconsin area, to give us one or two absolute primary reasons why someone should consider moving into your community and having their child or children attend schools in the Elkhorn Area School District?
That's a great question. I've always been a firm believer, and I've always moved to where my kids to go to school. I look at it through the lens as a school leader that the system that I work for, create, and work with, I want it to be as best as possible for my own kids. And I look at all of the decisions that we make as educators as, is this what I would want for my own kid? I think you would be hard-pressed to find the access and opportunity to the programs, the classes, the different modalities that we provide in regards to a learning opportunity. If you want to be home-based learning, virtual, blended, partial day at the school and partial day at the tech college, it's really, I think that's where we distinguish ourselves, are the level of differentiated opportunities that are available for students within our school district is just phenomenal. And then the STEM programming that we have has been nationally recognized year after year.
Right. So,
but I always tell parents, wherever you're moving to, Southeast Wisconsin is chock full of wonderful schools. You work for a wonderful K-8 school district there as well. What I tell parents is go and visit the school, go on a tour, look and see what the offerings are, and get inside the buildings and see what it looks like.
Okay, very good. Jason Tadlock, Superintendent of Schools in the Elkhorn Area School District, thank you so much for being my guest this morning on Education Matters, and thank you for your service as superintendent and also on the Board of Trustees for Gateway Technical College.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. In this segment, I am very pleased to be joined by Kenosha County Deputy Casey Rood. And we're going to be talking about the Deputy Friendly Program, DARE Program, and other things that might come up. Casey, welcome to WGTD Education Matters.
Thank you for having me, Steve. A pleasure to be here.
First of all, you know, one of the things I always like to do initially before we delve into the topics of the morning, if you will, is if you could give our listeners some background of who you are, where you grew up, where you went to school, and anything else that you want to share with us.
Sure. So I'm originally born in Racine, was there. Most of my family's from Racine, so Wind Point area. And through fifth grade, went to Wind Point Elementary up there in Racine. And then family moved to Kenosha, and I attended Summers Elementary School, then Bullen, and then proud alumni of Bradford High School here in Kenosha.
Mm-hmm.
Then I attended Gateway Technical College in Kenosha, and had a great time there for my majored in criminal justice. And it was nice. The program back then was a two-year program, but also you could go through the police academy at that time. It was a part of your two-year degree as well. So mm-hmm. I did that in 2 years and started out law enforcement. I was always interested in law enforcement, even from a young age. And that's kind of why I went that route. And then got a couple jobs. I started my law enforcement with the Twin Lakes Police Department on their boat patrol. And then did that for a few summers, and also worked for the Department of Natural Resources out at our wonderful state park, Bong, out there on the west end of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the privilege to work for the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department at the time. Now it's Sheriff's Office. And I've been with this this agency for, actually, this month will be my 14th year anniversary, and it's gone fast. I've done everything from patrol functions, second shift for many years, and prisoner transport, which is our conveyance unit, did that for a short time. And then what kind of led me into my current position, well, I was a school resource officer at Westosha Central High School for 4 years. from 2018 to 2022. And then the deputy friendly position opened up, and I thought, what better way to go in my career, as far as I dealt with the high school students and all the things they were seeing and the issues I dealt with. And then I can, you know, kind of flip the spectrum and talk to students, before they get to that moment of their life, and teach the DARE program and a number of other different things I can facilitate, as far as everything from the deputy friendly kind of, it's a wide spectrum. We teach DARE to fifth grade, and we can get more into that in just a minute, but everything from even the kindergartners, the teachers and school administrators will let me come in, and everything from Stranger Danger, I'll teach, all the way through Carthage College will bring me in for current drug trends for some of their students. And so everywhere in between, I'm kind of I'm the guy they throw in there. I'm like, hey, we need, talk about different drug trends as far as school bullying, violence, things of all those of that nature. And I'm kind of all over the place with that. So, but it's been a great career. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully I can do my current position. This is my third year doing it. And hopefully I can continue. I've had a great time. Work is fun.
And I know that your role as deputy friendly, that these are K-8 schools in Summers, Pleasant Prairie, west of Interstate 94, which of course includes Salem. Could you go into more detail, if you would, about the sorts of things you do in the 20 plus schools that you work with regards to deputy friendly, how the program got started, if you want to share that, or really anything you'd like to mention with regards to that program?
Sure. I believe years ago, I'm not 100% sure on the date, but it goes back to, I believe, the 1930s, when the school safety patrols first were created. And don't quote me on the 1930s, but it goes pretty far back as far as the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department back then being involved with the schools and safety patrol, and just teaching the basic things as far as, bus safety, getting to school, if you're riding your bike to school, bike safety. We really emphasize that, especially with summers coming up. With the summer coming up, bike safety is very important. Again, deputy friendly, we're very proactive here on the Sheriff's Department, as being involved with the community. We'll do bike safety, seminars, schools will bring us in. We do bus safety at the beginning of the year. I know at Summers Elementary, it was this last year, it was great. They brought them all out, all the students, one grade at a time, and we talked about the do's and don'ts of riding a bus safely. And there's many different things as far as, we also, the one big thing about deputy friendly, one of our huge events is that we do, we just had our 40th annual safety poster contest. And the safety poster contest, Ray Rowe did it for 20 some years, and previous to that, John Ruffalo, it's just been going for many years. Well, as promoting just safety in general. So when someone asks, well, what's the safety poster contest about? Well, the assignment is to draw an essay and or I'm sorry, draw a poster along with an essay on the back, a short essay regarding what is to be safe in your community, what is safe to be at your home, safety at school. So our submissions would be anything from, and mind you, a lot of our students are on the west end of the county. So this year, one of my favorite posters and essays was about cow safety. Because a lot of our students, their parents are farmers, so they'll be farmers, and they're already farming at a young age, and you got to be safe on the farm, even especially with cows. And we'll get entries like that. We'll get internet safety, which is amazing. Again, another deputy friendly topic that comes up, and I'll go to schools and talk about. The parents, we have a huge event at the Parkway Chateau where we have this year we gave away for the winning student the contestants, we gave out 33 brand new bicycles and helmets. Ooh. And a little plaque for achievement as far as for the work they did on their poster and their essay. And it's been a great event. That was just couple months ago. It was in March. And it's just one of those things that has been going on for many, many years. And I'm just glad to be a part of it, continue that tradition. And but the goal of that in the classroom, just to, what it is to be safe. And with this day and age, with especially with technology, when students start submitting posters about internet safety, social media safety, that's been a huge topic that we've had to try to tackle as far as just being safe. And because so many students at a young age are already getting exposed to social media. And it's a constant battle we've been dealing with. Even from when I was a school resource officer, freshmen coming into high school that, they're on their phone, just sometimes all day into the late evenings. And There's plenty of dangers out there, so we just have to make sure they're aware of it and be on top of it.
You mentioned stranger danger. Could you go into a little more detail about that?
It covers everything from our core curriculum in fifth grade, but they have programs for all the way from kindergarten through 12th grade. And some of our programs that we have are stranger danger, which we basically have these giant flashcards. And they're different scenarios of, you know, young students. And we pull up these flashcards and we talk about, okay, what do we see in this photo that might be dangerous? Okay, and we have everything from, you know, railroad crossings to bike crossings, school grounds, playgrounds, as far as, you know, if somebody pulls up in a vehicle, what's wrong with this picture? Okay, and then we also really try to have the students, if they were to encounter, you know, strangers, somebody not a trusted adult that they know in a vehicle or on foot, you know, what to do. And who do you tell? Obviously, go tell a trusted adult, try to get out of that situation as quick as possible. But also, to provide, one of our flashcards, we have a vehicle pull up offering, I think, candy of some sort, kind of like the old thing that we were told when we were kids. And then the students, after the fact, all right, what color was that van? What did the person driving look like? You know, and make sure they, you know, kind of retain those details so they can give us the information, provide the information, not just saying, yeah, there was a stranger trying to give me candy. No, we can actually get a little more feedback from them. And just making sure that don't talk to someone that you don't know. Obviously, you know, only speak to trusted adults. And if you see something that's and somebody tries to, you know, speak with you, engage with you, make sure you get out of that situation safely.
Mm-hmm. How closely do you work in your role as Deputy Friendly with the actual school districts in terms of teachers, school administrators, counselors, anyone, you know, who works at a school or making presentations at school board meetings?
Sure. So I have gotten requests in the past. I know when I was at Central High School, I was in a very good working relationship with the administration there. So they'd have school board meetings if there was any current topics. They say, the vaping issue among teens and young adults has just skyrocketed. Cigarette use has dropped significantly over the last 6 to 7 years among teens smoking cigarettes, but vaping, it's just been going nuts. So different administrations, especially Central, when I was there, they would have me come in and, you know, kind of give a briefing to the school board, kind of what we're dealing with. Because as far as the high schools go, we have two high schools in Kenosha County, Wilmot and Westosha, and there's a contract for the so the school, they're paying us to be there for the safety of the students and the staff, but also they want to know, what else do you do? Are you just security? I'm like, oh well, we do a lot of different things. We're always, you know, on the lookout for drugs, vaping. There's always issues with students, and we're everything from counselors, mediators, to law enforcement, you know, just keeping the school safe. But as far as presentations, yeah, I get requests to, you know, the current issues that are, you know, troubling the schools during the school year. We'll address them and we'll talk. And how, as far as the relationship between the sheriff's office and the schools, how we can work together to tackle certain issues, mm-hmm. Whether it be truancy, everything. A lot of people don't think about that. As far as students not appearing, are leaving school during the day or just not coming to school. And, you know, how do we tackle that situation?
Sure.
And try to get the kids in.
You mentioned before the DARE program, the Drug Abuse Resistance Education Program. And I know that's been in existence for a long time across the country. If you could describe what that program is all about, and just you know, a story or two with regards to the DARE program that you have experienced in the time that you've been working within that particular program.
Sure. So I started doing DARE when I was a school resource officer, actually. On Wednesdays, I would leave Central High School early, and I would go teach DARE to a couple of our inner city schools. We had Wilson. Now that Wilson's closed, now I believe that our second DARE officer, we have two DARE officers on the sheriff's office. We have Deputy Hyatt, who's the current school resource officer at Central High School, and myself. And started with that, and the DARE program, it's, and again, I went through DARE when I was in fifth grade back in, 1995, and it's changed for the better, because we had to change with the times. And but yeah, the DARE program, we do have it. Like I said, it's a curriculum. They have, as far as you know, servicing schools from kindergarten through 12th grade. But the primary curriculum, as far as the DARE curriculum goes with fifth grade, it's a 10-week program, and so there's 1 through 10 lessons, and each lesson we have different presentations, scenarios, and different key terms. So as far as from lesson one is kind of our intro day, all the way to lesson 10, we talk about a number of different topics. We talk about the drugs and alcohol, health effects, facts of both. We talk about stress. We talk about peer pressure. We have a lesson on bullying and social media, which I'm just actually these last couple of weeks in the schools that I've been working with, that's been the lesson we're finally at. So we're kind of towards the tail end of our DARE lessons. And yeah, each different lesson we discuss, you know, these situations that are going to probably be coming up in their lives in a short matter of time, usually by the time they hit middle school, high school, and what to do, and the choices that they're going to have to make, and coming through with positive choices, because it's not an easy road sometimes for some students to get through, as far as, because we all remember high school can be a little different, a little difficult, I should say, and just giving them resources and different ideas to navigate that and you know, get through it with success.
As you have the opportunity to talk and work with parents, whether you're presenting at a school board meeting or you're talking to them, you know, if you happen to be in the Culver's, as you know, out here in Western Kenosha County, have a new Culver's and a Quick Trip, by the way, as you know. But what kind of reaction in the past have you gotten from parents, whether it's about Project DARE or Deputy Friendly or the SRO program? Because I'm sure you interact when you're off duty, if you will, when you see people who know you.
Oh, yeah. So it's been very positive. Throughout my time as SRO and Deputy Friendly, it's been great. Some parents will, you know, even off duty, the parents will come up to me and they'll have questions sometimes. Sometimes it's just a thank you. It's always very rewarding when I hear a parent or a student, you know, run up to me and say, "Hey, Deputy Root." And I've been out with my family because I have two little kids. I'm married, and we live in Somers, and we're always out and about, and it never fails. My wife sometimes, she gets irritated with a smile because it's like, "Oh, here comes another kid or another parent. Hey, Deputy Root. Hey, Deputy Root." And, you know, just want to say hi, give a little fist bump, high five. And the feedback's been great. The parents usually come up to me and say, "Hey, my kid loved DARE. You had great stories." Because when I conduct my DARE classes, like I said, going from SRO to being Deputy Friendly was a great segue, because it's like, here's what I know exactly what you're going to deal with when you guys get older. And we'll take the DARE curriculum and combine it with my personal experiences. And I would tell, you know, these stories of either drug use that, you know, drug use cases that would happened at Central, or you know, they like funny stories. So I got plenty of those, plenty of goofy stories from even back on my patrol days. But the students love hearing that. And we have fun in DARE class, but also we get serious too. You know, and that's the balance that we have with DARE, because we got to keep those kids interested and engaged. And but, you know, we don't want to make it sound like, "Oh, this is going to be scary." No, the high school is going to be fun. Middle school is going to be great. But you might have some challenges that come your way. And that's what I like to talk about. And again, trying to keep it as light as possible, because, yeah, there's some over the years, I've dealt with some very serious things. And the kids love the story. So when I hear that from the parents, it's like, "Oh, my kid told me a story and this and that." But the thing, one thing I take from that is that the kids remember those stories. Sometimes it's years later. And if I were to say, "Hey, what was your favorite story during DARE class?" And the kid, you know, had DARE, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But I remember a student hid drugs one time in his underwear. And I told the story, and it's like, you know, and every kid always remembers that, you know, because I said, "I'm going to have your parent come and check your underwear." And the kid, you know, he just turned just so red. And, you know, he gave up the drugs and admitted that he had them, because, you know, some other students claimed that, you know, informed us that, "Yeah, you know, this kid has drugs. He's been selling drugs." And, you know, students remember those stories. Mm-hmm. Because they thought it was funny, but also it's teaching that lesson. So we talk about the consequence. Well, that students did bring drugs to school. All right, what are the consequences? And I asked the students, "What do you guys think happened to this student?" We talk about the legal consequence. We talk about the school consequence. We talk about the parental consequence. And that's what they remember. And I love that because they come down to me later and say, hey, you know, this and that. And they tell me how high school is going for them or how it was. But again, they remember, you know, those moments of like, okay. And because they remember, it's like, okay, you do any kind of stuff, you know the consequences. There's big mm-hmm. consequences. And yeah, I love hearing that kind of stuff. Years later, it's like, okay, that stuck with them, which means I think I'm doing my job right.
And my last question is, as you look at all the things that you have done in the schools, in your various roles, why do you do what you do other than it's a job, but why do you enjoy what you're doing? And what have you found to be the most rewarding?
Like I mentioned earlier, because I get this question a lot, I say every day is different. And then some people would say, well, you know, you got your DARE classes, you know, they're, aren't they the same lessons, you know, that you teach other schools? And I said, yeah, but the students are different. And they have different questions. Sometimes, you know, it's happened quite a bit, where I'll get some question about something. And when I have a question and I put it to the students, I say, well, what do you guys do in this situation? I'll get the answers, you know, some of them are similar, but sometimes you get a really, intelligent answer from a different viewpoint. It's like, wow, okay. But just being different, every day is different. Ooh. I mean, yeah, the lessons might be the same, but DARE is always like this summer, we'll be attending a DARE conference, our annual state DARE conference for our DARE Officers Association. And there's updates to different curriculum and different presentations. And and if anybody has any questions about the DARE program, you can log on to their website, DARE.org or DARE America. They can just Google that and it'll take you to it. But I mean, as far as the curriculums and different presentations we do everything from also fentanyl. That's a big one that DARE America just added a whole presentation about fentanyl abuse. I mean, it's there's a ton of different things. But it's sort of getting back to the question. It's every day is different. I enjoy it. I enjoy going to the schools. It's like I mentioned different things that they're rewarding things. I see it. I see kids, as they go through life and making good decisions, just being happy, happy kids and in a safe environment. When they see me on later and give me those high fives and they tell me that they're doing great, that's the most rewarding thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's every day is fun for me. And even at the end of the school year, as you being an educator, at the end of the school year, students, start to get a little rambunctious. Same thing before, any other breaks, either holiday breaks or whatnot, or spring break. The end of the year can be kind of chaotic, but sometimes it can be a little stressful, but it's still, I look at my position and where I am in my career, and I still enjoy it. And that's why, look at guys like Ray Rowe did it for so many years, because he really enjoyed it. And it is a rewarding position. And sometimes it doesn't even feel like a job. It's like, I just really enjoy just being out there and, do what I can for the students and the staff, the community. And it's a great time.
Well, I want to thank you for taking your time. We've been speaking this morning with Kenosha County Deputy Casey Rood, and a lot of really neat topics. And having been a former high school teacher and principal and district administrator and university professor, I can understand everything you were talking about. And I'm sure our audience does as well. If anyone is listening and they want to get more information from Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, how do they do that? What's the website they can go to or anything else?
Sure. We got our Sheriff's Department website. And anybody with a smartphone or a tablet or computer, smart device, can just either Google just Kenosha County Sheriff's Department and sheriffsdepartment.org. Or if they want to call down here, that's a non-emergency number. If you want to, students would ask this question too. Hey, how can I get a hold of you? I said, don't dial 911. Call the non-emergency number. And that's the thing. For Monday through Friday, you can call our front counter. And that's also, that'll direct you as far as the non-emergency number. Mm-hmm. And after hours, that would take you up to dispatch. But it's just 262-605-5100 is our front counter number, non-emergency number. And if you have any questions for me or the sheriff himself, Sheriff Zerner, or anybody on our department, just feel free to call and we'll get you in contact with the right person.
Okay, very good. Again, Deputy Rood, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for all that you do and the Sheriff's Department.
All right. No, thank you for having me, Steve. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Education Matters here on WGTD. In segment one, my guest was Jason Tadlock, Superintendent of Schools for the Elkhorn Area School District. And in segment two, I spoke with Kenosha County Deputy Sheriff Casey Rood about his role as Deputy Friendly. For Education Matters here on WGTD, I'm Steve Brown. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters.